BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
It's one of the best bits of 2011. Let's go back in time. It's Stupid Street with a Difference. Diddle, diddle, diddle. Now, last week, Becky was watching a show on telly, and it was from back in the day. It was black and white, wasn't it?
Well, they had clips of old... It was about local TV news, and they had loads of old clips and like loads of vox pops and stuff like our Stupid Street.
And who knew, even then, even way back, they used to do Stupid Street?
Mm.
I didn't know that. And they asked the questions that really matter, like we do on this show every week.
Would you say that men are more fashionable than women in film?
Yes, I would.
So, that's the question. Would you say that men are more fashionable than women in Plymouth?
It's quite specific, isn't it?
It is. But that's what I like about it. So we thought we'd bring it into 2011. Pounded Stupid Street to find out if attitudes had changed all these years on. So, what do you think? We went onto Stupid Street and asked, are men more fashionable than women in Plymouth? What do you think?
No.
You
There's
don't.
No way, no.
It's quite a strange question to be asked on Stupid Street
well,
in London.
Well, she said yes, didn't she, back in the day?
Yeah, she did.
I'm saying...
Would you say that men are more fashionable than women in Plymouth?
Yes, I would.
That was then, you know.
But now, it's definitely the girls are more fashionable than the men in Plymouth.
Okay, so you're saying the girls are more fashionable in Plymouth.
So I'm saying, yeah, the answer to the question is no.
Let's find out.
Do you think men are more fashionable than women in Plymouth?
Plymouth?
Do you think men are more fashionable than women in Plymouth?
I'd probably say yeah.
Do you know where Plymouth is?
No.
Do you think men are more fashionable than women in Plymouth?
Yes.
What is it about Plymouth that makes them more fashionable?
I don't know. I've only ever been to Plymouth twice.
And did you enjoy it?
Not particularly.
Were they fashionable?
Well, they had very, very good reflective jackets and what have you.
Really? Do you think men are more fashionable than women in Plymouth?
I think girls are more fashionable than men.
In Plymouth?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know where Plymouth is?
Of course. Of course, in England.
Whereabouts?
Oh, come on, you put me on the spot like that, man.
Do you think men are more fashionable than women in Plymouth?
No.
Have you heard of Plymouth?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Whereabouts in the UK is it?
I'm not sure.
Do you know where Plymouth is?
No.
They all dress the same.
Uh-huh.
What, men and women in Plymouth?
In Plymouth?
Do you know where Plymouth is?
No.
Where is Plymouth in the UK?
Yeah.
South.
South. South East. Is this a trick question?
Oh, I told you they were on form today. Isn't that great?
No one on there knew where Plymouth was.
No, not one. So there we are. Two
it's
people.
Not a small place, is it?
No. Two people said yes. Two people said no. And one said they're all the same.
So the results of the survey are inconclusive.
Inconclusive. Sorry yeah. about that. So we'll never find out, maybe, if men are more fashionable than women in Plymouth. And I really wanted to know if attitudes had changed. OK, are you ready for another one? So we're taking these... Oh, by the way, I want this guy to be on Stupid Street all the time.
Do you think men are more fashionable than women in Plymouth?
Yes.
What is it about Plymouth that makes them more fashionable?
I don't know.
Yeah. I didn't know this about fashion in Plymouth.
Well, they have very, very good reflective jackets.
Because I've been to Plymouth a few times. I'm not sure I saw one reflective jacket.
Well, they have very, very good reflective jackets.
Let me know if you've seen any. Maybe you live there.
My sister went to uni there. I don't remember her suddenly coming home with loads of different sort of, you know, work.
You never saw her bust
no
out any...
No tabards or anything?
No? No high-vis?
No. I love it if she had. Teacher training comes back in a high-vis.
Okay, so we're asking these questions that they asked on Stupid Street on the TV show you saw last week, back in the day. Here's the next one.
Do you think women should wear trousers?
No.
When do you think women should wear trousers?
Well, when they're doing the housework.
There we are. So, do you think women should wear trousers? Yes or no? What was the answer?
Yes.
You think they should?
I always wear trousers apart from Yeah, no, I always wear trousers most of the time.
So even though that guy was, like, only when doing the housework, you think in 2011 things may have changed?
Yeah, definitely.
OK, let's find out.
Do you think women should wear trousers?
From my point of view, I think they shouldn't, innit? It's attractive, innit? Yeah, from a man.
Do you think women should wear trousers?
Oh, sure. In the winter only.
Do you think women should wear trousers?
No.
I do like to see a little bit of leg, to be honest. So, my answer would be no.
Do you think women should wear trousers?
Yeah, I think they should, yeah. When it's right, yeah.
And when is it right?
When they're doing some form of work. Most of the time, actually. Unless they've got very nice legs.
When do you think women should wear trousers?
Wednesdays.
They could be stylish. You get the culottes, which are very stylish. They can be worn for going out.
Do you think women should wear trousers?
Why not? If it's modest enough, without showing too much of the shape of their buns.
This might be my favourite Super Street we've ever done.
So am I only allowed to wear trousers if it doesn't show off too much of the shape of my
buns? Yeah. I actually think Super Street in 2011 is more un-PC than it was back in the day.
Do you think women should wear trousers?
Why not? If it's modest enough, without showing too much of the shape of their buns.
Yeah. Note to self.
Most of the time, actually. Unless they've got very nice legs.
They could be stylish. You get the culottes, which are very stylish. They can be worn for going out.
OK, your final one. So, on Stupid Street, in the old days, they were talking about this.
A learned judge was heard to remark in the courts the other day that he didn't understand the word snogging, and it was explained to him, I believe, by a 9-year-old girl. So let's see how much the word snogging means to Mr. Everyman.
Now, do you remember, this was a brand new word back then, and this is what they said.
Do you know what I mean by snogging?
Yes.
What the word snogging means?
Snogging, no idea at all.
Do you know what's meant by the word snogging?
No, I don't. I'm afraid I don't, so I'm a sailor.
So why would you know that? Because you're a sailor.
Sailors don't snog.
No. But do people on Stupid Street today know what snogging is? Because we're asking the questions from olden days, Stupid Street, here in 2011. Do they know what it is? Remember, the last two didn't go the way you necessarily expected them to.
I know, and I was going to say yes, definitely, but now you've said that, I'm going to say no, they don't.
See, I would know what that means.
Yeah, well, so, yeah, I think most people would. But this is Stupid Street, so I'm going to say no, they don't.
Let's find out.
Do you know anything about snogging?
I've done it.
I know that it's fashioned by the French. I think they're the experts in it.
Snog's just like, probably if you snog someone that you don't know or something.
How would you define snogging?
Sorry, I was just staring at those girls.
Two lips, two emotions, two, you know, people.
When you kiss a woman for a very long time and, you know, you put your tongue down her throat and she does the same for you.
Mouth-to-mouth acrobatics.
Kissing, just like getting your tongue in there and wiggling it about.
You know, getting involved with the other half.
Do you know anything about snogging?
No, I don't know.
What does the word snogging mean?
I don't know. What do you mean? What does that mean? Do you know?
I know what it means. Do you know anything about snogging?
Stuff. Well, he does. I'm not so. Ooh, yeah.
Not as active.
No, not at all.
Oh, snogging? No.
Have you engaged in any snogging?
No.
Not recently?
No.
But they do generally know what it is, so that's good. Loved him.
Mouth-to-mouth acrobatics.
I want that on my phone.
Mouth-to-mouth acrobatics.
The Scott Mills Daily. BBC Radio 1.
Over the last few weeks, we've very much enjoyed hearing the stories of Chris's life, but this is the last 24 years at the tap end of 2011. I presume we'll continue it in 2012? I think we should. We've got loads of stories yet to go.
We continue in?
I think we should.
Wow.
And we haven't got to any involving me yet. I will have to vet those before, because there have been some times.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah. Anyway, it's Christmas Eve. You're listening to Radio 1. You might be driving home for Christmas. You might be wrapping presents up and putting them under the tree. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this special festive edition of 24 Years at the Tap End from Chris's autobiography.
It's the... Yeah, you're right. It's the Christmas special.
Yeah, I just said
this one.
Yeah.
Ready?
Ready.
My 20th year at the Tap End.
Go.
It was the night before Christmas. Literally, it was Christmas Eve. Me, Ollie Butler, Chinese Dave, Webbo, Dougsy, Johan, Chazza, Chango and Jono were out to celebrate Christmas Eve in style. Like always with our group, though, we had failed to plan ahead, which meant that the options of where to go were restricted. Anywhere with a decent party was ticket only, and our group generally objected to paying to get into pubs. So like most nights, the plan was to go to the Misty Moons in Northwood.
It's always there. It's the same group of lads in the same pub.
It's the default option, basically, on nights out.
I do like it, though. It's like, because it's Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve, a pub that you go into all the rest of the year, which is absolutely fine and no one on the door, is suddenly like, £20, please.
Yeah.
Get lost.
Rip off. All the same, I was looking forward to it. I donned a Christmas jumper and comedy antlers and made the journey to Northwood. I was in a festive mood, and passing everyone on the bus, all in Christmas wear, as they headed off to Christmas parties, only made me more hyped for Christmas. I walked through the doors of Misty Moons and stood there. It was rubbish. There wasn't even a tree. There was literally nothing different to any other night. A couple of old guys propped up the bar, and my group of mates sat there in the middle of the room. They'd pushed two tables together, and were all just sitting there staring up at the TV. It couldn't have been more of a letdown.
What was on TV?
Oh, same old guff that's on Christmas Eve.
Was it one of those list shows?
Oh, probably, yeah. It's probably one of those ones you're on. Even Jono just sat there reading the paper. We sat there, all in a row, just staring at the screens. We had invited a couple of girls that we knew along, and around 10 o'clock they turned up. It's always awkward when the girls turn up to meet our group, as everyone has got to kiss everyone. The girls turn up and walk around the table kissing each one of the boys. It's long. And the same when they leave. Also, one of the girls doesn't just do the normal cheek kissing thing. Whenever she arrives, I lean in for a cheek kiss, but she goes straight for the lips.
Wow.
Not by mistake. It happens all the time. And with all the lads. It's always awkward in front of girlfriends, but also, if there were girls in the pub and I was single, it rules you out as people assume she's your girlfriend. No one has ever told her.
Tell her!
It's just awkward, though, because you know after she's done that for, like, for a few years now, don't think anyone... I just accept it. I just try and get it done with as quickly as possible.
What's her name?
I'm not saying that.
Well, I could tell her now.
No,
I think she needs to be told.
No, I don't think we should do that.
No, I think you're wrong.
No, because she's probably listening.
That's okay.
Not someone will tell her. Well, we can't do that.
Oh. I'm not being funny, Chris. It probably isn't that hard to work out if she's listening.
She knows what she does.
You're
telling a story about Christmas Eve 4 years ago with a girl that goes in for a mouth kiss in Misty Moons. It's narrowed it down a bit.
Well, I hope she's not listening.
Whatever her name is. What is her name again?
Hannah.
Excellent. Move on.
We couldn't even keep hold of those girls that night, and I couldn't blame them for leaving. The night was heading to be a washout, so I decided to try and make things a bit more festive. I asked the man behind the bar to turn on the Christmas music. It was nearly midnight, and I thought the least we could do to seeing Christmas was sing along to a bit of Mariah Carey or something. I tried to motivate everyone, but no one was really happy. I even did the countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. No one else was really bothered. I shouted, "It's Christmas!" as the barman played heavy dance music. He couldn't find the right channel, and Jono turned the pages of his newspaper.
When you say you shouted, "It's Christmas," I think you probably did it louder than that.
Yeah, what I've done is I've written it in the book, but reading it like this, it's kind of awkward. I can't do it how I actually did it.
Well, I think you can.
Well, I can't, because then I had a few drinks and sort of was more up for it.
Just give us a general idea.
Well, it's a bit like your Blee Friday. You can't just do that on demand.
Yeah, lean back.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, this is awkward.
Do I do this now?
Mm.
I can't do it. I can't. I don't think I can do it.
What's wrong?
I don't know. I just can't.
Have you lost it? You lost your mojo. What's it? What is it?
It's weird. I've lost my bark. It's what? Like I can't do this. Like,
why?
I don't know if I've got the confidence to just sort of lean
it's
back.
It's fine.
In.
We're friends. Come on.
All right.
Go.
It's Christmas. See, yeah. This is awkward now. Yeah,
that wasn't so hard, was it?
It came to kicking out time, so we decided to head back to Butler's garage for a few drinks. Although he calls himself Sir Dosser, he lives with his parents in quite a nice house, which is actually called Bel Air.
Are you serious?
This is true. The garage was basically his, with a dartboard and snooker table. Most of our nights, we would walk home from Watford and chill in his garage. We were on our way to do this when we passed a construction site, and someone thought it'd be funny to steal Butler's hat and throw it up over the wall of the half-built house. He obviously wasn't happy about this, but climbed over the wall to get it. By horrible coincidence, a police car went past at the same time, and they shouted at Butler to climb down from the wall. They didn't have much sympathy for Butler, who was shouting about getting his hat back. He was a bit worse for wear and clumsy at the best of times, and he took a tumble in front of one of the officers. They threatened to arrest him for drunk and disorderly, but we managed to talk them out of it. It was Christmas, so it would have been harsh. But as they took his address down and he told them he lived in Bel Air, they thought he was being cheeky, didn't believe him and took him off to the police station.
Oh, no.
It was a disaster. We were man down.
This is awful.
But he genuinely does live in Bel Air. They just thought...
Bel Air is it, son?
He didn't do any jokes about being the Fresh Prince of Bel Air.
No, but...
Right, because that would have sent me off if I was a copper.
I went through a phase of calling myself the Fresh Prince of Pin Air.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Which I used to think was hilarious. Yeah. And I'd do the whole rhyme to, you know...
Oh, yeah, so let's hear that.
I'd do it up to the house about 7 or 8, and I yelled to the cabbie, "You're home, know you later. Look to my kingdom, I was finally there. Something else, I'm the Prince of Pin Air." It was something like that, wasn't it? We did a U-turn and began to walk home. But just when I thought the night was a total disaster, a bit of Christmas magic sprinkled in our direction. Regal Kebabs, open sign, shone bright in the distance. Putting my arm round Dougsy's shoulder, we walked to Regal's and enjoyed a Christmas Eve kebab, a tradition that to this day we enjoy every Christmas.
There's nothing more festive than a bit of doner meat, is there?
No. It hadn't been the best Christmas Eve, but as I sat there eating my lamb doner and chips, I looked around. It was Christmas, and I sat there with most of my best mates around me. And as Jono ate his burger and Chango passed me the chilli sauce, I thought to myself, this is what it's all about. Merry Christmas.
BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily.
Now, over the last year, Chris here...
Yo.
Hey. ...has had a lot of schemes to try and make himself... rich. A lot. Haven't you?
Mm.
Haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think now, maybe, finally, as we approach the end of 2011, he's hit on the one that could actually make him a bit of cash. 24 years at the tap end, the autobiography. But along the way, there have been some quite weird things, and that's what we kind of love you for, your schemes, really. A lot of people saying that when... you are reading your autobiography, you do sound a bit like a song by the Streets. So here now are some of the strangest bits and schemes and ideas that Chris has brought us in the last year, ending with 24 years at the tap end, Mike Skinner style. Chris is in love.
I think I am anyway.
And you've fallen in love with this person based purely on their voice.
Would you speak to her on the phone or what?
No, not on the phone.
Is it someone off the radio?
Unexpected item in bagging area. Remove this item before continuing.
Her?
That's the one.
It's Britain's newest real-life superhero, and probably the best. The Sexy Mexican.
Do you guys need any help crossing the road? I'm the Sexy Mexican. I'm here to help.
Go on then, you can help me.
I'll, here we go.
This is very exciting.
Arriba.
Huh?
Arriba. Here we go. Right. Oh, God, no, don't go now. Oh, jeez.
You know Harry Hill's Leaving TV Burp?
So you're saying that you are kind of lining up to be the replacement?
Well, I'm up for it. So I'm thinking the job that I'm cut out to do is to become a motivational speaker. And I thought to myself, I reckon I can do better.
Oh, where's this going?
I could be the next best-selling chick lit author.
I do.
I think I found something which is hashtag winning on two different levels.
Oh, I like hashtag winning on two levels.
Well, I thought I could be a film critic. Lord of the Rings, the first one. Heard lots of good stuff about this film, and it clearly cost a lot of money to make, but I don't have a clue what was going on. I'm not that good with the magical, mystical genre, and this was no exception. 3 hours in, it suddenly ended, and I was informed that it was the first part of a trilogy. So a word of warning. It's going to cost you 3 times as much and roughly 9 hours of your life to get through this. I can think of better uses of that time. Looked incredible, though. Beautifully shot. Not much of a plot. 2 stars.
For Lord of the Rings.
Chicklets.
You... I'm going to write chick... It's quite hard.
I really don't think it is. He looked at her longingly, his eyes on the prize.
On the prize?
Hang on. More filet fish than chicken nuggets. Her body bronzed like a teak mahogany bench.
What about you've been framed, as we were saying? Is he going to continue that as well?
Well, I've had some ideas about this. Could.
You've been framed with Chris Dark.
Okay, here we go. 2 men, one playing a guitar, one clapping. Oh, straight in the gonads. The idea is you just go out, whatever people ask you, your answer has to be yes.
So, hi, would you like to try some makeup today?
Yeah.
Or perhaps we can get your eyebrows waxed for you.
Coming in. Yeah.
So they were expecting jokes, and instead, you taught the crowd at the comedy night some GCSE geography.
I'm Chris, and tonight we're going to learn about volcanoes to a GCSE standard.
Woo! Go into businesses, motivate the staff, I take a large amount of money, but then the company will earn loads of money out of an increased workforce. I have a dream. And I've never had a dream come true till the day I found you. We've come so far, and we've reached so high, and we look each day and night in the eye. Well, it's got me thinking that just everyone's releasing an autobiography.
Yeah.
Perhaps I should.
Oh, God.
So, today, I started writing my autobiography.
Oh, I can't wait. What's it called?
24 Years at the Tap End. Of course. She's that perfect mix of both friendly and stern.
Have you swiped your Nectar card?
That's what she said.
Oh, I found this great thing on the news yesterday where they're looking for local heroes to carry the Olympic torch. And I think I stand a very good chance should someone nominate me, you know?
It's 24 years at the tap end. The story of my friend Chris's weird life.
We'd been texting for 2 weeks now. I'd been introduced by a girl at my tennis club and had been working on her constantly. We had never met but were getting on great. It was like I knew everything about her, so we decided to meet up. As we'd never met, I thought it would be a good idea to bring our mutual mate along, and to even up the numbers, I decided to bring my mate Dougsy. We decided to meet up at a shopping centre in the centre of Uxbridge. Ironically, the same shopping centre that was used when Will goes on his double date in The Inbetweeners. Me and Dougsy were to meet the two girls there, do a bit of shopping, some general chat, then go to the cinema.
It's hard to take, but her mind has been made up. There's plenty more fish in the sea. Dry your eyes, mate. I know you want to make her see how much this pain hurts. but you've got to walk away now. It's over.
We got on the train. I was wearing a new jumper and my trainers were box fresh. I was a little bit nervous. This was a blind date. She could have been a biffer, but I was confident she was going to be quite fit from what I'd gathered from 2 weeks of solid texting. We got to the shopping centre, up the escalator, and there they were, my mate and my date. I froze. She was quite fit. I went in for a cheeky kiss and mucked it all up. Oh no, I meant I went in for a cheek kiss and mucked it all up. From there, it all went downhill. I literally had nothing to say to her. We'd been texting so much, I already knew it all.
Try your eyes, mate. I know it's hard to take, but her mind has been made up. There's plenty more fish in the sea. Try your eyes, mate. I know you want to make her see how much this pain hurts. But you've got to walk away now. It's over.
To make up for the awkwardness, Dougsy and the other girl were getting on really well, chatting away, laughing, and I was just standing there like a muppet. For the next hour and a half, I did not say one word to her. It has all got far too awkward. It got so bad that when it got to the point where we were meant to go to the cinema, she made some feeble excuse about not feeling too well, turned around and walked away. I learned that if you're going to try get off with someone you've never met, don't text them constantly. And when you do meet up, speak to them.
Dry your eyes, mate. I know it's hard to take, but her mind has been made up. There's plenty more fish in the sea. Dry your eyes, mate. I know you want to make her see how much this pain hurts. But you've got to walk away now.
BBC Radio 1. Neil off of Bristol says, Chris is great on your show, don't ever bin him off. Whatever Chris is drinking, I want some. Some of the comments coming through as we relive the best of Chris. There we are. It was like a little montage.
Amazing.
It's like you've passed. Isn't it? It was, a little bit. Here's the best bits. He was beautiful. Nice one, Chris.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Do you know what? We should release an album, you know, like they do with the Live Lounge, because people properly love that Tim Minchin song, White Wine in the Sun, which we played earlier. We've got Snoo, who says, Tim Minchin made me cry and I'm trying to drive home for Christmas. Pippa in Cheltenham had to drive over... she had to pull over from driving. That's right. Stick with it. Because Tim's song made her cry. We've had some great performances this year on the show. Tim, for one. Charlie Simpson was on, covering Loca People.
All day, all night. All day, all night.
Really good, this.
All day, all night. What the? When I came to Spain and saw people partying, I thought to myself... What the?
And we had Joe Jonas, who came in and he sang a song made up only of headlines from gossip magazines. This is Ace as well.
My giant tongue wouldn't stop growing.
My giant tongue wouldn't stop growing.
A ghost store our life savings. Stand aside. My bum's 5 foot wide. My mate boiled my willy. I'm so fat I broke the toilet. 6 toilets actually. I fell for a sexy robot. I paint with my boobies.
Magazine headline song by Joe Jonas. That could go on the album. Also, our friends Frisky and Manish came in and they did their question song.
Lucy Liu with my girl Drew. Cameron D and UME. Frisky Manish, come on.
Question, do you know the way to San Jose? I've been away so long I may go wrong and lose my way. Question, are you going to Scarborough Fair? If you are, remember me to one who lives there. Question, why does it always rain on me? Is it because I lied when I was 17? Why does it always rain on me? Even when the sun is shining, can't avoid the lightning. Question, how do I live without you?
Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Do you hear the people sing, singing the song of angry men? Question, who let the dogs out? What you gonna look like with a chimney on her? What you gonna look like with a chimney on her? What's going on?
If they say
what's
why,
going on?
Why?
What is love?
Tell them that it's human
baby, don't
nature.
Hurt me.
Where is the
what's
love?
Going on? What's going on?
Where
yeah,
is the
what's
love?
Going on?
Where is the love? The love? Girl, I didn't know you could get down like that. Charlie, how your angels get down like that? Girl, I didn't know you could get down like that. Charlie, how your angels get down like that?
Question. What can I do to make you love me?
Question.
What becomes of the brokenhearted?
Would I lie to you, baby? Would I lie to you?
Question.
When will I be famous?
I can't answer. I can't answer that.
When will I put my picture in the paper?
I can't answer. I can't answer that.
More. What is it good for? Absolutely
nothing.
Say it again. Let me hear you now.
War. Good God, y'all.
What is it good for? Absolutely
nothing. Yeah, F&M. We in the house. We'll break these people off twisted style.
Is that all there is? Or is there life on Mars? How deep is your love?
How deep is your
could
love?
Could it be magic?
Could it actually be magic?
Oh, all the people in Radio 1, throw your hands up at me.
Becky Huxtable, on your own.
Throw your hands up at me. And the one who doesn't speak. Yes. Throw your hands up at me.
Scott.
Huh.
Throw your hands up at me.
Still to this day, I do not know what prompted me when put on the spot like that to go, huh!
BBC
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download.